A best-selling author wants us to know that it's all about Jesus, and he's going to open the way for us into the holy place today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I'm holding a book in my hands, and it lists scripture after scripture with description of 50 things the Holy Spirit does, and then discussion of charismania versus charisphobia, gifts versus life. I'm looking at, let's see, I'm looking at another section, becoming what you already are, with verse after verse after verse after verse after verse. I'm getting edified just looking at these pages as I'm preparing to talk with the author. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I am delighted to be with you. Number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, but I'm not going to be taking calls immediately. I want to introduce my guest and friend and best-selling author, Frank Viola, to you in a moment to talk about his new book, Jesus Now, and a special offer he has for those who order the book today. Before I do that, quick update. My book, Can You Be Gay and Christian, which came out on, well, officially yesterday in all different forms, but it was first released Sunday, as I found out when the first hostile review came out. That review has now been changed 7 different times. As of yesterday, I was accused of being the new Fred Phelps, a cult leader, preaching a new gospel and wanting to have human sacrifices. This is how sick and crazy this thing has gotten. Another review only appeared for a little while. Perhaps the person who posted it had a change of heart. But it's called A Hate-Filled Bigoted Text Written by a Hate-Filled Bigot. And to tell you the truth, when you see the attacks that come against you, when you see the demonic junk that gets stirred up, I mean, stuff like that, crazy accusations like that don't come from above. When you see that, it's just another reminder that you're on the right track. The more lies that come against you, the more encouragement you have that you are on the right track. But let us focus our attention on Jesus, a brand new book, and a couple hundred pages, very readable kind of thing. You'll sit down, and before you know it, you'll be halfway, two-thirds through the book, but then you'll want to reread it to digest every page, like this section on what the blood of Christ does with verse after verse after verse. The new book, Jesus Now, Unveiling the Present-Day Ministry of Christ by Frank Viola. Hey, Frank, welcome back to The Line of Fire.
Oh, I'm delighted to be on again. Thanks, Michael.
You bet. Hey, listen, this first segment is a brief one, but just take one moment to introduce this. Take a minute to let us know why you wrote yet another book about Jesus, but yet looking at it, this is the most unique of all of them so far.
Yes. Well, very simply, there are many, many books on Jesus, but most of them go into what Jesus did when he was on earth. The story in the Gospels, what he taught, what he did, what he performed, his actions, etc. And then we have lots of books on his second coming, speculating what that's going to look like. But Michael, I don't know of any book that deals with the parenthesis. What has Jesus been doing since his ascension and before his second coming? In other words, what is Jesus Christ doing now? You know, what is his ministry today? And so this book was provoked by that very question, and in it I talk about the 7 present-day ministries of Jesus Christ. They're not the same as his ministries when he was on earth, but they benefit us today as Christians, and they benefit the world, and they're very important for us to know.
All right, we're going to start to unpack those, and then we'll tell you what to do when you order the book, how to get a special resource for free with this from my author, friend, Frank Viola, the book, Jesus Now.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. My guest, Frank Viola, author of the book, Jesus Now, Unveiling the Present-Day Ministry of Christ. You know, it is true, we do have the Gospels. They tell us extraordinary things that Jesus did on the earth. We have descriptions of his second coming. We're to long for his return. And yet, we know Jesus makes intercession for us now. He sent the Spirit. But what else is he doing? So, Frank, unpack this for us. You mentioned seven things he's doing. Let's pick a few of them and give our authors a glimpse of what they can get in the book. Let's start with Great High Priest. What is Jesus doing as our Great High Priest?
Yeah, well, he's doing a lot as our Great High Priest, Michael. One of the things that he's doing is he is removing the consciousness of our sins. One of the greatest motivators in the world, in fact, it is the greatest motivator, is guilt. And unfortunately, many, many Christians struggle with guilt. But the blood of Jesus Christ that he sprinkled at his death is still operative. And as high priest, he brings that blood before the Father. He perpetually makes intercession. And if we appropriate that blood, we have the right apprehension of it, which I try to do in the book to give readers, we can live free of the consciousness of sin. That's one of the things that separates Old Covenant people from New Covenant people. You know, they had the consciousness of sin. But on the other hand, he does something else. He transforms us. And not only does the blood of Christ remove all consciousness of sin, particularly when we appropriate by repentance and faith what the blood has done, but there's a passage in Hebrews 4 that many Christians quote where the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. Well, that is a reference to the high priestly ministry of Jesus. You see, the image there was that the priest had a sacrifice tied to the altar. He took out his knife, which is translated sword, very sharp. He cut the sacrifice into two halves, dividing it into the joints and the marrow. And the next verse says that the intentions of our heart, all things are laid bare before him, of whom we have to do. Nothing is hidden. Everything is exposed. Well, what was hidden in that sacrifice before the high priest opened it up and divided joints and marrow was hidden. But now that he opened it up, it was exposed. And that's what Jesus Christ is doing as our high priest. He's not only cleansing us perpetually, where we have no guilt and no conscience of sin, but he's also separating soul and spirit by the two-edged sword that comes out of his mouth, the word of God. And I talk about how that happens. But we often miss the high priestly ministry of Christ is being talked about there because we never hear it in context when we hear Hebrews 4 mentioned.
Right. All right, so let me ask two questions to you. First, this about the high priestly ministry of Jesus. And obviously, there's a lot about the high priest in the Old Testament. There is a lot in terms of the description, the garments and his role, etc. I've focused on that as a Jewish believer in Jesus. He is called our great high priest, and yet the question, okay, what is the high priest currently doing, escapes most of us. But we share a concern about the hyper-grace message, an exaggerated message of grace that goes beyond Scripture. And in fact, your chapter on Jesus being a great high priest is an antidote for some of that exaggeration. But what does it mean to not be conscious of sin, and yet the Holy Spirit will make us uncomfortable if we do sin as believers, so we turn to God to be cleansed? What's the difference between guilt-driven Christianity, not being conscious of sin, or having a healthy understanding of this? How does this all work out?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I thread the needle between those two extremes in the book. On the one hand, the blood of Christ looms larger than any sin we will ever commit. And it is so powerful that it really does cleanse the conscience. However, there is different levels of the conscience. I lay them out in the book. There's five states of the conscience. There's a clean, purified conscience. There's also a defiled conscience and a corrupt conscience. And, Michael, there's also a seared conscience. Mm. And the conscience is the indicator where the Holy Spirit peers through, shines his light into our hearts, and awakens and enlightens us when we have strayed from Jesus Christ. Now, what the hyper-grace people do is they basically say, turn off your conscience, and there's no need to repent, because you've already been forgiven. Well, yes, forgiveness is available, forgiveness is there, the work is finished, but if we don't respond to the light of the Lord, we can sear our conscience. And Jesus Christ is not just high priest, but another ministry he has seven, is he is the author and finisher of our faith. And that's where it comes into the issue of spiritual growth. And I talk about how Jesus Christ will complete what he started, but that is a process, and it entails us responding to his light. See, as part of the great high priest, he takes his knife, his double-edged sword, and he begins to pierce our hearts. You know, just like the high priest separated joints and marrow in the sacrifice, he pierces our hearts and reveals the intents and motives. And he does that so that we can bring them to the light of God, receive full cleansing, have complete and total fellowship with the Lord. If we sear our conscience, we do not hear the Lord. We mistake in our own thoughts. We can't separate spirit from soul, and we basically walk in our flesh. And
all right.
That hinders spiritual growth, and it obstructs his ministry of author and finisher of our faith. So we need both ministries, I guess is what I'm saying. We need his ministry of cleansing, but we also need his ministry of dividing soul and spirit and being the author and finisher of our faith. And I talk about those two issues and how they work together in the book, as you know.
And before I go any further with my second question, what's the best way for folks to order this, especially if they want to take advantage of the special resource offer, which I think is just another day or two, and that's all we have to take advantage of that?
Yes. Your listeners need to go to parable.com, and they will see on the first page the book, Jesus Now. It is at a 50% discount, Michael, today and tomorrow, Thursday. And if they buy the book at a 50% discount, which is a steal for this volume, they will also get the study guide for free, as a free gift. And the study guide is not just a typical discussion guide, but it also has a bonus chapter in it that's not in the book. So they just have to go to parable.com today or tomorrow, grab the book, get it at 50% discount, and they'll get the study guide for free.
Awesome. All right. Make sure you go there, friends, and Matt will be posting that on Facebook, on different social media. That's even better deal than I remember when we talked about having you on the air, the half price plus the study guide. Take a couple of minutes and talk to me about the blood of Jesus.
Well, you know, one of the things I do in this book is I make scannable lists, and in effect, they're very easy to read, but I go through every scripture on a topic that's related to the book. So as you mentioned in the opening, Jesus Christ now operates in our hearts, in our spirits, through the Holy Spirit. And so I have a list of 50 things the Holy Spirit does. And it's exhaustive, every text in the New Testament. Well, the blood of Christ, I do the same thing there. And in the chapter on Great High Priest, I talk about 20 things that the blood of Jesus Christ does. And, you know, it's not just a list, Michael, but it also has, you know, the scripture for each.
Right.
But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses our conscience to where we feel as though we have never sinned. That's the power of the blood to remove guilt. Once we yield to the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, when he puts his finger on something, it's gone. And we have no consciousness of sin, as Hebrews puts it. It's a great wonder of the new covenant. It gives life to those who consume it, John 6. It causes us to dwell in Christ and him in us, John 6. It is the means by which Jesus purchased the church, his bride. You know, for her hand, he was crucified, and in his bosom she will abide, all because of the shed blood. It justifies us and saves us from God's wrath. It redeems us. It is through the blood that we overcome the enemy. Praise the Lord. It cleanses our conscience not from sin, but also from dead works to serve the living God. It is the means by which we enter the most holy place with boldness. It speaks better, a better word than the blood of Abel. It sanctifies us. It completes us for every good work, and on and on. So I got that whole list there about what the blood of Jesus Christ does.
Yeah.
And I do the same for some of the other ministries of Christ.
Yeah, in fact, you know, the list I mentioned earlier, becoming what you already are. Friends, Frank's always deep in the Word, always pointing to Jesus, but this is just really super. You are complete in Christ, who is the head of all principality and power, Colossians 2:10. You've been crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. You are dead to sin, Romans 6:2. You've been alive with Christ, Ephesians 2:5. On and on.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My guest is Frank Viola. His new book, Jesus Now, Unveiling the Present-Day Ministry of Christ. Go to parable.com, parable.com. I posted the link on Facebook. When you go there, you'll see the offer for the book. I think it's just got another day or two at the most to take advantage of this. You get the book for half price, and it's attractively priced to start, and a free study guide with it. You know, Frank, when you mention the guilt disappearing and no consciousness of sin, again, it doesn't mean the Holy Spirit does not make us aware of sin as we move forward, which is a good thing. It's out of love, and because sin is damaging and destructive. But I remember before I was saved, when the Holy Spirit started to convict me, I didn't know people were praying for me. The Holy Spirit started to convict me. And the things I was literally boasting about one day, I was feeling miserable about the next day. And I couldn't get rid of it. It was like, you know, it's under your skin, you're scratching at it, and you couldn't get rid of it. And when the night that I surrendered to the Lord, so the Holy Spirit shows us what's wrong, we turn to God, we say no to sin, yes to Him, and He empowers us to change. When that cleansing came, instantly, I remember looking for the guilt, and it wasn't there. And I remember thinking of the thing I felt most guilty for, stealing money from my own father. And there was no guilt. The guilt was gone.
Awesome.
It's extraordinary. All right, Frank, you've got seven different aspects of the ongoing current priestly ministry of Jesus. Let's focus on one more. And then, folks, again, go to parable.com to order the book and take advantage of the special offer. You cannot order it through us. Have to go to that website. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What does that mean to us today as believers?
You know, I tell you what, it's one of the most encouraging things, especially in dark times. You know, if you're a Christian, wherever you're at in your spiritual life, the early days are easy, and the later days, from what I hear from elderly people, are fairly easy, but it's the middle that's the toughest. And there is a passage in Philippians that says that he who has begun a good work in you, Jesus Christ, who authored your faith, he who has begun a good work in you will, not maybe, not we hope, not, you know, let's pray about it. He will finish it. And boy, that is powerful. That is electric for the days you're going through struggles, you're looking at your spiritual growth, you can't find it. That chapter, author and finisher of our faith, goes through every single text in the New Testament, tells stories, gives examples, gives lists, about this issue of what Jesus is doing right now to develop us into his image. And there's an awful lot in it by way of just learning from experience, Michael, that I tell Christians, whether they're young or old. I have a whole list of 12 things that every believer should know, and I wish somebody told me when I was a young believer, Christians will break your heart. The greatest pain you will receive will be at the hands of fellow and professing believers. Not everyone who professes Christ knows him. The fruit of real faith is love, treating all others the same way you want to be treated. God will not meet all your expectations and will sometimes appear not to fulfill his own promises. You will experience dry spells where there is no sense of God's presence. Learn to live by faith choose a mentor, but never choose one who is insecure, speaks negatively about others, or has an inflated ego. And I go on to give principles from my own experience, as well as from the New Testament itself, to give concrete, hands-on, very practical advice on how we can grow in Christ, as well as many other things that we need to know, such as the Christian life, Michael, is becoming what we already are. Mm. And that in itself is a powerful, powerful truth to get our hearts and our heads around.
Yeah.
We're not working to victory, we work from it.
Yeah, and you know what's so amazing with all this is that as I'm going through the book, I'm thinking, you know, I give this to a new believer to help them get grounded. And I'm reading it, and I'm getting blessed reading it, having been following the Lord more than 42 years. But that's who Jesus is, isn't it? That, you know, there's the wonder of reading his words and following him from the first day, and then a different sense of wonder the next day, and then the next year, the next decade. So the book,
Amen.
Jesus Now. Again, friends, take advantage of this. You don't want to miss the offer, the opportunity. Go to parable.com, and you'll see it. Jesus Now, Frank Viola, V-I-O-L-A. And when you order the book, you get it 50% discount plus a free study guide. So, Frank, thanks again for alerting me to the book coming out and allowing us to share it with our listeners. And I'm going to be reading some of the scriptures later in the show. So thanks again for joining us. I appreciate it, man.
Oh, it's my deep honor. Thank you, Michael.
All right. God bless you. Boy, I think I'm going to read some scripture to you. And well, it's too much to read right now. Okay, listen. I've got a question I just want to throw out for you. And you can call now. Excuse me. We will take your calls in the next half hour. Again, listening on WMCAW, AVA FM. Just go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. And just click on the banner to keep listening live. But I've got a question. You can call right now, and we'll get your calls later in the broadcast. If someone, a pastor, a leader, commits adultery, they're unfaithful in their marriage, it goes on for some time, they're sleeping with this person they're not married with, they come clean, they repent, does that person need to step down immediately? Can they continue in ministry while they get help? Does that person need to step down for a specified period of time, for a year? Is there a process of restoration that they have to go through to prove themselves? Is that legalism to say that? Or are they disqualified from ever ministering again? What do you think? Curious to hear your feedback. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, especially if you're someone sitting in the pew, so to say, and you have been looking at a person in leadership. What do you feel is right? Just curious how it plays out on your end. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let me read to you from the Tree of Life version. Oh, let's see. Well, let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter. How about that? From the Tree of Life version. And we'll read some familiar verses to you. Beginning in verse 5, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Messiah. By grace, you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Messiah Yeshua to show us in the Olam Haba, that's the world to come, the measureless richness of his grace and kindness toward us in Messiah Yeshua. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not based on deeds so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua for good deeds, which God prepared beforehand so we might walk in them. So you see, it's beautiful, vibrant translation. You can use it in your Bible study, your small groups, your preaching and teaching, and yet it has these messianic sensitivities and concepts added in with a glossary of terms used in the back. Beautiful hardcover. We have the first ones being shipped to us, arriving in a couple of weeks. Call now to order. We suggest a gift of $30 or more, but your gift of any size to help us in our work. 1-800-278-9978. Call now. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Why, I asked a question in the closing minute of the last half hour, and all of our phones lit up. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I was just talking to a colleague about a situation of sin, repentance in ministry, a restoration. Every one of us wants to see mercy. Every one of us wants to see restoration if we have God's heart. But is there a process that people need to go through? Let's say, God forbid, your pastor was in adultery and comes clean. It's always better if someone comes clean versus gets caught. You know, he's been secretly having an affair with another woman and sleeping with her over a period of months. He comes clean, confesses to the other leaders, says, okay, I'm repentant, I want to go forward. Does he need to step down for a certain period of time? Does he need to go through a specified restoration process that doesn't have time associated with, but mainly results? Does he need to go through a process of restoring credibility? Does he or she, as the case might be in certain churches, need to step down at all? Or if they're forgiven by God, do they keep going? Or has the person disqualified themselves from ministry for the rest of their lives? We know as leaders that if someone is caught in a particular sin, Galatians 6, that we're to go to that person, we're to go to them in a spirit of meekness, considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted. In other words, when we sit here and throw stones, well, that rat person never, ever should have done anything like that. If it had been me, I never would have met. God's just a fool. You be careful. Our self-righteous arrogance can be destructive. When we set ourselves up as infallible, when we set ourselves up as untemptable, we do set ourselves up for a fall. In the 80s, I'm not going to mention names now. There's no reason to rehash. You either know who I'm talking about, and I don't need to mention names, or you don't know who I'm talking about, in which case mentioning names won't be of any help. But there was a major Christian leader on TV who was exposed as being in sexual sin, and there were serious financial improprieties. And another major TV minister who was known for preaching holiness went after him. And I loved the ministry of this other brother who preached holiness, and I thought he was powerful and anointed, and I resonated with his message. And I didn't really resonate with the other guy's message. It seemed a little funny to me. Then he was exposed. I was sorry to hear it, but, you know, I didn't really like his message. I'm just telling you how I felt back in the 80s. But the guy who preached holiness, man, I loved his message, and I was all for it. And, well, what happened was the holiness preacher started going after this other guy mercilessly and mocking him and attacking him and kind of like, I told you so. And I remember thinking, oh, you don't want to do that. You don't want to set yourself up as the holy judge mercilessly attacking someone else with brokenness and pain. You should say it's a terrible shame. This brings reproach to the name of Jesus, and it's terribly harmful for so many believers. And I'm broken over this man's state. Let's pray for his restoration. And let's all examine our own lives and repent of sin in our own lives. No, he went on the attack. And sadly enough, tragically enough, while he was on the attack, it was exposed that he himself was living in sexual sin. And he ended up terribly hurting, destroying in many ways his ministry. So I'm interested to hear your perspective. Again, it's just a conversation I was having with someone earlier in the day. Your perspective on what is the proper recourse. Does Scripture tell us directly as a matter of bringing forth fruit of repentance? You're a member of the church, you're a congregant, you're an elder. What would your perspective be? As soon as we come back, I'm going straight to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Want to get your input. By the way, we're not mentioning names. We are not mentioning names. We're just talking hypothetical here. And I'm curious to know how these things strike you. Someone, quote, sitting in the pew, receiving from a teacher or leader, how these things strike you. We'll be right back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I posed a question right at the end of the first half hour of the broadcast. Gotten a lot of responses. I want to get to your calls. A leader, public leader in ministry, is caught in a sexual sin. We're just using that as an example, okay? They're committing adultery. They're sleeping with someone they're not married to. They confess to the board or they're caught in it. It becomes, now it's known, what is the right process? Does this person have a right to come back to ministry? Do we just forgive and they move on? Do they go through restoration process? Have they disqualified themselves? What's the godly response and what's best for the health of the body? Just curious to get your perspective as a believer. We'll start in Waldorf, Maryland. Michelle, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for Dr. Brown for taking my call. I know this is God allowing me to give my testimony to you and to share with some people. Very briefly, just like you just said that you talked about a scandal that occurred in the 80s. I think I'm quite aware of what you're talking about. My life right now is online, okay? In other words, I am a celebrity a little bit. My story is online, but I won't say any names. And my situation, I'm going to try not to cry. My marriage unfolded because of this big, well-known bishop right now. My husband left me for another woman, and that woman in turn got entangled with this big bishop that's well-known right now that's on TV, everything, Dr. Brown. Oh, God. I have a problem with leaders falling. I know that we all are human, and I know that we all fall. But the problem is that when I deal with leaders, and I've been in a situation before where I have dealt with two pastors myself, very well known as well, and I don't judge them because I know that in turn, for what measure I judge them, I will be judged also. So I don't go and put my life out there and share this with people. I don't really tell anybody. I keep it to myself. I've been offered to write a book about this situation, but I don't want to do it because of these other known well bishops that are on TV. Yeah, and my life, again, is entwined with it, so I don't want to make my life like some type of where I'm making money off of it just because of their names and so on and so forth. The problem with some people may not understand, if you've never talked to a wealthy pastor or a man in general that makes six figures a year, you won't understand sometimes their thinking or their makeup. So a lot of them own their own churches, so they're independently owned. So who's going to sit them down? Who's going to tell them what? If you don't like it, is their attitude, you can leave their church, and they don't get bothered by that. The level of arrogancy that comes along with the power and the status, you wouldn't believe it, because they are thrown so many different temptations that if you don't bow to it, that's okay, because somebody else will.
Can I just jump in? I'm so sorry just to hear the pain in your voice in terms of what you've experienced, and yet your heart for mercy and not for vengeance. That's why you're free today. If you were full of bitterness and anger and accusation, then you'd be a victim in a different way as well. But you know, the fact is, ministry is about service.
Exactly.
Ministry is not about becoming big shots. Ministry is not about all the perks that you get. Yeah, I fly constantly. So because I fly constantly, I can only get upgraded flying. And trust me, I'd rather have some room to stretch out and pull my computer out than to be squeezed in the back of a plane. But I don't fly around the world to have perks. I fly around the world to serve. And the great, great, great majority of pastors out there, they're not making a lot of money. Per hour, they don't make much. They're not getting all kinds of perks. And they're not living this lifestyle, getting picked up in a limo. And yet there are folks, and Michelle, you're so right. I've heard about scandals. One guy's dead now, but he was pretty well known when he was alive. And guys told me about after the meetings, they go just to play, to party. Pick the girl you want. And party. I mean, I never heard of anything like this. It's mind-boggling. And yet these things do exist. And another... I've heard from others about another major guy that after the meeting, he goes in the inner city in his limo, and they pick up boys to have sex with.
Yes.
And God help us. God help us.
It's the truth, but I was going to share with you that in my own, I'm in ministry as well, but in my opinion, and as well as biblically, I think that if you have any type of flaw or indiscretion, whatever you're dealing with, my theory is this, before you walk into your calling or your vocation, you're going to always be tempted. We always have something. No one is above reproach. No one is. But however, when you take on certain positions, you are expected to live a life that is worthy of the calling that you've been called to. And there are certain exceptions, and the Lord does forgive us. But when you keep making something a habit, that's when it becomes wrong. I then concern myself within your conscience and whether or not you really have a true relationship with God. Because if you can continue to do what you do and not be convicted by it, because God knows I was convicted and I shut it down and said no. So, you know, and I think that you should sit down, but they won't sit down. They'll keep doing what they're doing and have no conscience of it.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Michelle, you know, that is the case. And thankfully, there are those that mess up, go through restoration. And every one of us, on some level, we all fall short on one level or another. Obviously, we should be people of integrity and purity serving the Lord, but we all fall short one level or another, and there is mercy and grace. But as leaders, there is the standard of being above reproach. Michelle, if there was something, a website or something that you wanted to share but just not on the air, Dwight will come on in a moment and get an email. Not an email, but a website, a link, if you wanted us just to see it off the air. But otherwise, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Let's go to Mike in Quantico, Virginia. What's your take on this, sir?
Hey, Dr. Brown. Thanks for taking my call. This is actually a personal experience for myself as well. As a teenager growing up, I had suspected and eventually proved an affair between my mom and the pastor at the church that we grew up in. This is a church that we had helped start. So I had been in it from a very young age. And the problem was, it came out, the pastor remained in place. And as far as I understand, he's still there. And this has been 10 plus years now. And I can say the effect that it has had on me spiritually has been detrimental, to say the least. But what were we supposed to do? You know, as a teenager, 18, I was old enough, I moved out and left the church. I mean, I wasn't going to sit around and listen to a man who I knew was, you know, had infidelity. And like you said, you know, I had no right to throw the first stone, but at the same time, there was no room for spiritual growth. And I think that's where the focus has to be, you know, to say, okay, we all mess up, but at what point do we say this man's ministry is so affected by what happened, he needs to step down?
Yeah, and again, I'm so sorry to hear this. I mean, the first two calls, it's kind of devastating to hear and be reminded of this, you know, in terms of the personal wounding and loss. But first thing, if any of us are ministering and are practicing ongoing unrepentant sin, and especially on a serious level, I mean, it's one thing if I'm thinking I should not be as selfish, and when I'm standing online, I should let someone go ahead of me if they look like they're in a hurry and I was a little selfish today. You know, that's different than planning to do something behind your spouse's back and then actually joining together physically with another person and then persisting to do it. It is impossible for you to be walking with God in a quality way and practicing that. Therefore, whatever ministry you're doing, even if you have a certain gift and you know the scriptures, your ministry is flawed, your own life is flawed, and you are not above reproach. So there must be some process for the person's own good, just like an athlete goes on the disabled list or, you know, whatever, and for a period of time, and then they go through proper rehab, and if they come back too soon, they're going to hurt themselves long term. There's got to be a process to restore, to lay foundations, to bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. Otherwise, you just end up, I mean, decades could go by and the destruction is even worse than imaginable. Hey, Mike, two things real quick. One, have you been able to go on with the Lord effectively? And two, what happened with your mom?
Okay, it's funny. For myself, it took me a while. I had actually suspected the infidelity a number of years before it came out to the public light. Fortunately, I met a good, godly woman who's kept me on the straight and narrow. We're married. We've been married for over 8 years now. And, through her and through a good new church family, I've been able to maintain my faith. It's hard not to harbor some feelings against that man. I forgave him instantly for what he did, but then what led up, to him staying into the service is what was
right, there become
to get over.
Other issues. All right, tell you what, Mike, we come back just real quick. Want to hear about your mom, and then everybody else on hold, I will get to you very quickly. Thanks.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's just go back to Mike in Quantico, Virginia. Hey, Mike, we're time short. I want to get to other calls, but the unfortunate situation, your mom having an affair with a pastor for a number of years. What ended up happening to your mom?
Yeah, unfortunately, my mom and dad split. She's doing okay. She's still in the church. Two brothers, and one brother's kind of taken her under his wing and made sure she's okay. And she's still involved in church. But my whole family just went northeast, south, and west. We left the church and went on to bigger and better things away from that man to get away from the situation. But it's been hard for everybody. So.
Yeah, and look, leaders need to realize that we have a lot of sway, that we can hurt a lot of people, that we can help people or we can hurt people. And like, I'm sorry about your personal journey, but it's a word of warning to all not to play games with sin. Hey, thank you, sir, for the call, and may the Lord's grace work in all of your family. 866-34-TRUTH. Deborah in Riverhead in Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, hi, Dr. Brown?
Yes, hello.
Okay, hi, I'm on speaker in my car, so I hope you can hear me.
All right, we'll try. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I did have something happen to me with a pastor that I was under in a church, and he was found out. He didn't come forward and, repent. Somebody, notified his wife. And it was the second time, which makes a difference, too. The first time, I think I would have found it easier to forgive him. However, we are called to forgive. His family forgave him. But most of the church, I would say like 90% of the church left. And he did have to go to counseling for a period of 2 years, him and his wife and family, I assume. And he's back pastoring now after 2 years. And I think in my heart, I know God forgives, and I know that, when you're repentant, he forgives you. However, to me, it's like, okay, you forgave and the Lord forgave you, but there's also consequences
right,
that you have to face,
yep.
Such as, like, say, if you're a sexual molester, and you repent before the Lord forgives you, but you have consequences from the laws of the land from that.
Exactly. Okay. Listen, if I do something foolish, if I squander all my money and then I ask God to forgive me, absolutely, there's no question that God can forgive me completely, but are there consequences? Might I suffer many, many years of financial loss because of it? Yes. If I did something terribly embarrassing in public, God forgive me, yes. Would there be some consequences of the negative act? Sure. So, again, it's mercy, forgiveness is one thing, but consequences of our actions, something else. And because of that, we need, number one, to take these issues more seriously, And number two, if there is sin, if we go through a proper restoration process, then that's also part of the resume and part of that saying, hey, we have been restored. All right, Deborah, thank you for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. All right. Tell you what. I'm not going to give out the number again. I do want to say, friends, that just these few calls reminds us of the ugliness of sin. There is forgiveness in Jesus. There is washing and cleansing in Jesus. And there are consequences, to our actions. And therefore, we lean hard on God for his mercy and grace without attacking and accusing one another, but really seeking his best that we walk in holiness and purity before him. And when there are issues, that we address them, in a righteous way. Some verses from my friend Frank Viola's book, Jesus Now. In terms of becoming who you already are, you have been made free from the law of sin and death, Romans 8:2. You are born of God. The evil one does not touch you, 1 John 5:18. You are holy and without blame before him in love, Ephesians 1:4. You have been given the peace of God that passes all understanding, Philippians 4:7. You have the greater one living in you. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, 1 John 4:9. You have received the gift of righteousness and reign in life by Jesus Christ, Romans 5:17. And on and on. This is how we are to live our lives out, dead to sin, alive to God. The more we understand this, the better we can live our lives. Reading from the Tree of Life version of the Bible. Beginning in Ephesians 2:11. Therefore, keep in mind that once you, Gentiles in the flesh, were called uncircumcision by those called circumcision, which is performed on flesh by hand. At that time, you were separated from Messiah, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Messiah Yeshua, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of the Messiah, for he is our shalom, the one who made the two into one and broke down the middle wall of separation. In his body he made the principle of mitzvot, those are commandments, by decrees of no effect. He did this in order to create within himself one new man from the two groups, making shalom, and to reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, by which he put the hostility to death, and he came and proclaimed shalom to you who were far away, and shalom to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by the same Ruach, the same Spirit. I think as you hear this translation, some of you are sitting there smiling, saying, I like that. It's got Jewish sensitivity and roots, but it is a thoroughly modern version in terms of communicating in our language today, and yet in a way that all followers of Jesus can embrace and understand. So then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. You've been built on the foundation made up of the emissaries. That's a good translation for apostles and prophets, with Messiah Yeshua himself being the cornerstone. When you click on that, it references you to Psalm 118 and Isaiah 28:16. All right, how do you get this? First of its kind, complete translation of the Old and New Testament by a team of Messianic Jewish Christian scholars and leaders. The first shipment of 20,000 is on its way. We have 1,000 of those coming our way. And, of course, we have to pay for them, but we're making them available to you hardcover. A retail value of $30 plus postage, but we're making them available to you for your gift of any size. So what's been happening since last week, some of you who are blessed with extra funds, you're sending in larger gifts. Some who have less are sending in smaller gifts, and it's enabling us to pay for these Bibles and put funds into our Jewish ministry outreach through our radio broadcast. So whatever the Lord puts on your heart, be as generous as you can, and those who can help with more, do so. And let's function as a body and get these out to as many people as we can. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, let us look to Jesus fully for everything he is doing in the present tense, to deliver us from the power of darkness and bring us fully into the power of God's light. Well, you know what's happening while America obsesses with all kinds of reality TV shows and nonsense in our society? Christians, are being slaughtered around the world.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you and looking at some sobering news as well. Friends, we have a message that brings life. We have a message that brings deliverance. We have a message that brings healing. We have a message that brings transformation. We have the message of the cross, and it is that glorious message that sets the captives free. It is very different from a message that inspires murder and terrorism and hatred. And article that will be coming out tonight on WND.com. An article will be coming out tonight. America fiddles while Christians are slaughtered. I want to talk to you about that today. 866-34-TRUTH. And a little question for you. Are you ready? Do you know who Boko Haram is? Do you know who Boko Haram is? One more time. Boko Haram. Do you know who Boko Haram is? If so, when did you hear about Boko Haram? If you do know who Boko Haram is, when did you hear about them? If you've never heard about them, no shame, not downing anyone for not hearing about them, you're going to be surprised when I share what I am about to share. Before I do that, some news, some things I want to catch you up on. From Peru, this is a report from PeruThisWeek.com. The Peruvian Constitutional Court, referred to in Spanish as the Tribunal Constitucional, or TC, has struck down a transgender woman's request that she be allowed to change her gender from male to female on her national identity document, DNI. Now, I'm glad to see that in terms of a ruling for sanity. However, the report here is already worded in a way that I would object to. Change her gender, her national identity document. Isn't this a man we're talking about? The decision is the result of a six-year journey by a Peruvian trans woman known only as Estella in mainstream press. Estella was born a male child with the initials JL. And in 2008, petitioned the Peruvian National Identity Registry to allow her to legally change her name to a feminine moniker with the initials P, which would more accurately reflect her gender identity. Isn't she actually a man? You're hateful. No, this person is born male, and is biologically, genetically male. They're male, and if they're convinced they're female, then we need to do what we can to help them get to the root of this thought process, this identity confusion, this assurance in their heart that they're actually the opposite of what they are, and help them from the inside out. Look, if there is nothing biological and genetic about it, it's no different than me feeling that I am black when I'm actually white. I may say I have a black soul or something. No, but the fact is I'm white. I'm not black. And if I was convinced I was black and wanted special government benefits, if there was something I could receive, you know, some minority housing thing somewhere, I don't know, you know, where that exists and in what measure today. And I say, but I'm really black on the inside. I'm really black on the inside. Then in point of fact, is the government going to treat me differently? Or are they? Why should they? So it's the same thing here, but good for Peru to do that. 866-34-TRUTH. Do you know who Boko Haram is? And if so, when did you hear about them? And what in the world has that got to do with you and me?
Fire we want, for fire we please. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. One of the functions of this show is to be a watchman on the wall, to help let you know what's happening in society and the world, to get word out in advance before things happen, to let you know what is happening and how we should respond. I wrote an article a few weeks back called, I hate to say I told you so, talking about things I've been warning about in society for some years, and as they're unfolding, it's like, okay, do you believe me now? Have I been detailed enough? Have I told you this is coming, and here it is, and now it's upon us, and oh wait, what do we do? How do we respond? I'm not fearful. I'm not overwhelmed. I'm not losing sleep. No, I'm confident in the coming of God's kingdom. I'm confident in the advance of the gospel. I'm confident that in the midst of whatever happens in this world, Jesus is Lord, and he's at work for the good of his people. On the flip side, it's pretty easy for us to say in America, because we're not being burned alive, and we're not having our children kidnapped en masse by Muslim terrorists, and we're not being beheaded for refusing to convert to Islam. So let's not get in a pity party. You know, someone, I've been getting, and I'm going to talk to you about some very sobering things in a minute here. Now that my new book is out, Can You Be Gay and Christian? I've been getting a bunch of really ugly reviews just from, you know, here. Let's see. One from yesterday or from this morning. I don't know. A hate-filled, bigoted text written by a hate-filled bigot. And then another one moments later, Brown's anti-gay obsession is certainly un-Christ-like. And then another mocking, gave it a 5-star review, but mocking with obviously the hope that people would read it. This book made me change my lifestyle choices, and it's just mocking the book. Now I'm an atheist, yay. And you can help with that. By the way, you can help. And here I'm on the front lines. We're going for it. We're taking the flack and the mockery and the attack and the lies day and night. And in the meantime, the book is jumping up on the charts and sales as people are reading it and being helped by it already. But you can help. And it's really simple. If you have an order from Amazon, just go online. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. Just go to Amazon.com. Sorry, I'm so used to giving out my website. Go to Amazon.com and type in Can You Be Gay and Christian? And then just click on the reviews. Do you find them helpful or not? Read them and see if you find them helpful. Here's a mocking 5-star review. And, of course, it's just mocking. It's a negative attack on the book. Well, that's one I would personally find unhelpful. And then someone who hasn't read the book but just attacks me personally, I'd find that unhelpful. Someone who has read the book and has comments that are useful comments, good or bad, that's a helpful review if it's a real review. So if you can go there, it does make a difference because other readers will be influenced. They'll see, oh, this book has all these 1-star negative reviews. It must be a bad book. Or, boy, this book has 5-star reviews that seem to be serious reviews. It must be a good book. A lot of people look at that. I read reviews before I order things. I just look at the stars next to a review, and I see, oh, okay, here it's an average of 4 stars, or it's an average of 2 stars, or it's an average of 5 stars. That's meaningful to me when I'm buying something online. So you're helping us get truth out. Is it that much to ask for those of you listening to take 5 minutes, go online to Amazon.com, and as soon as you read the book, just post a review. Post a quick review there that really does make a difference. But I wrote an article to say, yeah, this stuff is going on, but it's not what you call persecution. He unfriended me on Facebook. She sent out a negative tweet. That's not persecution. Having people write mocking negative reviews of my book and mocking me, that's not persecution. Oh yeah, some things get really ugly and things can do ugly. People can do ugly things after reading ugly things. But look, for the most part, it's just words, all right? But you're dealing with horrors. You're dealing with absolute horrors. You're dealing with people being beheaded and crucified, burned alive, brothers and sisters of ours, family members, because they're followers of Jesus in hostile Muslim lands. So my article will be out tonight, America Fiddles While Christians Are Slaughtered. And I start the article by asking, have you heard about the disgraced NBA owner, Donald Sterling? Yes? perhaps even his mistress, V. Stiviano? Yes, again? Well, let's check on world events. Have you heard about the crisis in Ukraine? Yeah, sunken ferry in South Korea? Missing airplane in Malaysia? Yes to all of those? All right, doing great. Let's try some more. Can you, tell me about the slaughter of Christians in Egypt? No? How about in Iraq and Syria? You didn't know Christians were being killed there? Or perhaps you can tell me how many Christians have been killed in Sudan in the last two decades. Not really. Not even sure where Sudan is on the map. Well, how about Boko Haram? Maybe you just heard about them recently. Maybe you heard about them in conjunction with nearly 300 girls being kidnapped somewhere in Africa. Does that ring a bell? Well, while America obsesses over the Donald Sterling scandal, which is certainly a scandal, and while we follow with interest the events in Ukraine, I mean, could Putin really be a Hitler in the making? And while our hearts rightly break over the terrible loss of life in South Korea and the apparent and also terrible loss of life in the Malaysian Airlines mystery, we're all but oblivious to the suffering of Christians worldwide. Joey, let's start with clip number 7. Let's talk about Boko Haram and let us become aware today of the terrible suffering of Christian brothers and sisters around the world.
This militant group, Boko Haram, their name means Western education is a sin. They went into a high school filled with girls, took them out, and many of them haven't been seen since.
All right. Now, more recent commentators have said that actually that's not the meaning of the name. It does not mean Western education is a sin. It is claimed that the real meaning of the name is the Sunni group for preaching and jihad, which actually makes more sense than Western education is a sin. But because I don't know the language in which the name Boko Haram occurs, I'm just passing on what I've heard. Now, White House Press Secretary Jay Carney said, look, it's been 22 days since these girls have been kidnapped, about 270 of them still kidnapped, and there's the threat that they'll be sold into slavery, which, of course, would mean sex slavery on top of it. And Secretary Carney says, Press Secretary Carney says, a time is of the essence. Time is of the essence. These girls were captured, kidnapped 22 days ago. Time is of the essence, and you're telling us about it 22 days after the fact? Let's listen to a description of this attack from a teacher, clip number 9. And then I've got a few clips I want to play about Boko Haram. But first, clip number 9 is a teacher describes this attack.
The Nigerian army used to do a better job against these militants. But lately, the soldiers deployed in the northern states don't know the region because they come from somewhere else. Boko Haram fighters look like any other Nigerians, so it's difficult to recognize them, and they can hide their bombs underneath their clothes, for example.
Now, what's happened is horrific, and I'm glad the president has now weighed in. In fact, clip number 18, the president has weighed in on this. But here's my question. Boko Haram has been killing thousands of people for the last 5 years in Nigeria. In late February, they attacked a boys' school and burned the boys alive. Christian boys. They burned them alive. Did you hear about that? Did we hear about it? I was hearing these reports and reading about them and following this. Now we're weighing in, and some say there, you know, there's oil-related meetings about to take place in Nigeria, and that's why the word is out concerning it. But let's listen to the president weighing in, clip number 18.
This is a terrible situation. Boko Haram, this terrorist organization that's been operating in Nigeria, has been killing people and innocents, civilians, for a very long time. We've always identified them as one of the worst local or regional terrorist organizations there is out there. But I can only imagine what the parents are going through. So what we've done is we have offered, and it's been accepted, help from our military and law enforcement officials. We're going to do everything we can to provide assistance to them.
Yeah, obviously we need to do what we can do, but why? Why have we been sitting on the sidelines for so long when they have been doing what they're doing? Let's listen to the leader of Boko Haram speaking. This is clip number 10. You were talking about militant Islam, which is responsible for terrible bloodshed and suffering around the world today.
Ladies, go get married. Leave Western education. I'm the one that captured your girls. I'll sell them in the market. There's a market for selling people. God has commanded me to sell.
Yeah, yeah, that is sick. That is horrific. That is what is happening to our brothers and sisters in different parts of the world. At the very least, let us get educated and aware of what's happening, and then let us find out what we can do in prayer or raising our voices to make a difference. Yeah, we get slammed, mocked, some legal cases against us here. We're talking real life and death. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Here's another. You got to check out this website, Matt. I'm not going to give the name to publicize it over the air, but it's the homophobic rantings of Michael Brown, and I'm the new Fred Phelps, and it looks like I want the equivalent of Sharia law, and on. Why? Because I wrote a compassionate book. A compassionate book reaching out to those who struggle with same-sex attraction and want to follow Jesus at the same time. And I just posted this a moment ago, but you know you're doing right when the primary attacks that come against you are nothing but unadulterated lies. Really, really do. So praise God for his grace and faithfulness, and may the Lord grant repentance and deliverance to those who are deluded in their attacks. You know, if I attacked you and said that I know that you are storing up ammunition against me. I see you've got a shed outside your house, and I know you are storing up ammunition against me because you hate Jews and you want to blow up my house. You think, what's wrong with Mike Brown? What's wrong with him? Because you know that in that shed, you've got lawn mowing equipment to mow your lawn, and that you also have a daily prayer meeting at your house for Israel and blessing on Israel. You think, what's the matter with this other guy? When I see the attacks, like, oh gosh, these people are really out to lunch. What can we do to help reach them and overcome the lies in Jesus' name? 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. Tony Blair has weighed in. Joey, clips number 13 through 15, Tony Blair has weighed in on radical Islam, and some will argue persuasively that radical Islam is the only Islam that is true to the Quran. But as I note in my article that'll be out tonight, if you follow me on social media, Facebook, Twitter, you'll know about it as soon as it's out. You say, how do you do that? Just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and click on the Facebook icon, the Twitter icon. If you want to get our YouTubes as soon as they're up, YouTube videos, click on the YouTube icon. And to get our email blasts, our e-blast, click on the email link. And to read my latest article, Five Truths About Same-Sex Attraction, click on that while you're there. But I just mentioned, here's a recent sampling of Christian suffering at the hands of violent Muslims. In Syria, Christians have been beheaded, crucified, and killed in other horrific ways for refusing to convert to Islam. They are targeted by both Sunni and Shiite Muslims in the civil war there. According to an April 18th report, young Christian women in Egypt are facing a greater risk of being kidnapped by extremists, tortured, and even forced to convert to Islam since the Arab Spring ended in 2011. Oh, the Arab Spring. Oh, democracy. Oh, young people. Oh, freedom. Yeah, a little bit more than that, sad to say. It has been estimated by the International Christian Concern and other watchdog groups in the region that there have been 500 reported cases of young women being attacked by Muslim men since 2011, but unreported cases could send the figure much higher. The girls are often assaulted, raped, kidnapped, forced to change their faith, and sometimes killed. And local authorities, for the most part, are doing nothing about it, sometimes arresting the Christians. Friends, what if that was your daughter? What if that was your young wife? What if that was your grandkid? this is what's happening around the world. Now, Tony Blair is Mr. Ecumenism, Mr. Let's all work together and the religions of the world work together in the best of all. Yet this is what Tony Blair has to say, starting in clip number 13.
At the root of the crisis lies a radicalized and politicized view of Islam, an ideology that distorts and warps Islam's true message. The threat of this radicalized Islam is not abating. It is growing. It is spreading across the world.
Yes, I'm glad he's recognizing. Again, people will debate whether that is pure and true Islam, but certainly what he is describing is spreading and must be recognized and dealt with. Let's go on. He's speaking to Bloomberg in London about this. Bloomberg News, clip number 14.
It is destabilizing communities and even nations. It is undermining the possibility of peaceful coexistence in an era of globalization. And yet, in the face of this threat, we seem curiously reluctant to acknowledge it and powerless to counter it effectively.
Yep, yep, yep. He is correct. And one more clip is Tony Blair speaking. And again, he's not the one to only be attacking the radicals. Or clip number 15.
When we look at the Middle East and beyond, to Pakistan or Iran and elsewhere, it isn't just a vast, unfathomable mess with no end in sight and no one worthy of our support. It is, in fact, a struggle in which our own strategic interests are intimately involved, where there are indeed people we should support, and who, ironically, are probably in the majority if that majority were mobilized, organized, and helped.
Now, does Mr. Blair realize that much of what Israel deals with is radical Islam? Radical Islam in the form of Hezbollah in Lebanon, radical Islam from Iran, radical Islam in Syria, radical Islam in the form of Hamas, and yes, radical Islam in the form of Palestinian Authority. Does he realize that that's what Israel is dealing with? Just trying to enlighten you today on the Line of Fire. Let me read to you from Ephesians chapter 6, from the Tree of Life version of the Bible. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you are able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the worldly forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist when the times are evil. And after you've done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm then. Buckle the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. Strap up your feet in readiness with the good news of shalom. Above all, take up the shield of faith with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Ruach, which is the word of God. Pray in the Ruach on every occasion with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, keep alert with perseverance and supplication for all of the Kedoshim. Kedoshim is the holy ones, the saints. And pray for me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the good news for which I'm ambassador in chains. Pray that I may speak boldly the way I should. Think of reading that. You don't just read saints, but you're reading holy ones. And that's how Paul addresses us as believers. Wow. Praise God. That's how we live this out. You say, how do I get this translation? Remember, for the first time now, the Old and New Testament are available in the Tree of Life version, a first of its kind for the whole church, for the whole body, but with Messianic Jewish roots and sensitivities. It's a $30 value in hardcover. It's a slimline hardcover with a glossary of Hebrew terms used and links to Messianic prophecy. Your gift of any size, but please help us. Some of you can be very generous. You're blessed with extra funds, and you can help 5, 10, 15, 20 people buy Bibles. So call right now, 1-800-278-9978, your gift of any size to help us in our radio ministry and outreach, and we'll send you the Tree of Life version, 1-800-278-9978. Call right now.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. We're talking about Christians not being aware of the suffering of our brothers and sisters around the world. I have a new article that'll be out tonight, America Fiddles, While Christians Are Slaughtered in Iraq. Open Doors reports that since the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq in 2003, the situation has been continuously deteriorating, with anti-Western and as such anti-Christian sentiments mounting and levels of violence by Islamist militants on the increase. Only an estimated 330,000 Christians are left of more than 1.2 million who lived in Iraq at the beginning of the 90s. Large numbers have either fled abroad or to the northern Kurdish region as a result of the severe anti-Christian violence. Think of that. My friend Pat Mahoney, whom I've had on the air with me a number of times, D.C.-based, said that he met with administration leaders with the Bush government and said, okay, you're going into Iraq. What is your plan for the Christians? In other words, Saddam Hussein, as evil as he may be, is a stabilizing force in the government and stops Muslims from killing Christians. What's your exit plan? What are your plans for the Christians? They said they looked at them with complete, what are you talking about? They hadn't even considered it, according to my friend. And now, what is it, a quarter of the amount of Christians that were in Iraq at the beginning of the 90s, only a quarter of them are there now. You say, what happened? Well, hundreds of thousands fled. And many tens of thousands have been killed. Sudan, located in North Africa. Some Americans may have heard the name Darfur, but very few know that as many as 2 million Christians died in Sudan at the hands of Muslim armies over the last 20 years, and Christians are still being killed there today. So what about Boko Haram? What about Boko Haram? It's a militant Muslim group in northern Nigeria. Some claim that the name meant Western education is sin. Now it's being said it translates as the Sunni group for preaching and jihad. They've recently come to the attention of our nation after kidnapping almost 300 Christian schoolgirls and threatening to sell them into slavery. Even President Obama weighed in on the atrocity, pledging help and support, telling ABC News, and we've played this clip earlier, you've got one of the worst regional or local terrorist organizations in Boko Haram in Nigeria, killing people ruthlessly for many years now. But the problem is they've been murdering and maiming and pillaging for many years. Yeah, for many years. How come America's just hearing about it now? How come it's not in the news? Come on, CNN obsessed for weeks over the missing Malaysian airline. Yeah, it's a big story. And yeah, it's a terrible, terrible human tragedy. And it's got all the elements, the lack of closure, the ongoing, you don't know what happened. And you know, the hope against hope and what happened, how they died, did they die? It's horrible. And then the sinking of the ferry in South Korea, another human tragedy, horrific, especially if, as we understand, it was human error that led to the crash and then human error that led to a couple hundred plus teenagers dying, drowning, didn't have to. The agony of the family, these are stories to cover. But CNN, that's basically all they covered for a few weeks. And then on top, I mean, even to the point they were getting mocked by other media for it. And then the Donald Sterling story and racism, that becomes a story. It's a story, but what about these stories? Were you aware in late February that Boko Haram Muslims stormed a Nigerian secondary school campus, locked a boys' dormitory and set it on fire, killing those who tried to flee and burning the rest alive? Maybe because it was African kids that were dying that we didn't care as much? I mean, come on, what was it because it was Christian kids? We need to wake up to reality. And on my article, I say this. You didn't hear about that? You didn't hear about the screams of dozens of schoolboys who were burned alive? But you're aware that Jimmy Fallon was replaced by Jay Leno and that Stephen Colbert will be replacing David Letterman? Isn't there something terribly wrong with this picture? We know more about the latest Kim Kardashian fashion statement than about the slaughter or kidnapping of hundreds of Christian children in Nigeria. You say the media is not telling me. Well, we'll tell you exactly how you can follow these things and be aware and make a difference.
Send it, Lord. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. You say, all right, how can I be aware of what's happening to Christians around the world? How can I be aware? How can I make a difference? What can I do? Well, here are a few websites. Already? Ready for them? There is Voice of the Martyrs. You say, well, is that what I type in? Well, you can, but you can also just go to persecution.com. That's Voice of the Martyrs. Or you can go to International Christian Concern, persecution.com, that's Voice of the Martyrs. Or International Christian Concern, that's persecution.org. So that's real simple, persecution.com, persecution.org. Both will inform you about what's going on. They'll tell you how you can pray or action you could take or letters you could write. You know, sometimes just Christians writing letters has made a massive difference. They write to a government. The government doesn't want to be embarrassed. The public opinion is such. People have been released from prison all around the world or had sentences commuted or a widow cared for because of this. Again, if I was in prison somewhere for my faith, I would be confident that believers back in the States or in other parts of the world would be praying for me. And I'd be confident if there was something that they could do to make a statement about it, they would do it. And if that's the fate of preaching the gospel, so be it. If we get put in prison for preaching or killed or whatever, lose a job, so be it. Let Jesus be glorified. However, at the same time, if there are things that Christians could do to stand with a person or to help them from mistreatment, it's something that we gladly do. And here's the other website to go to. Here are just three. Opendoors.org. Open Doors, one word, opendoors.org. So persecution.com for Voice of the Martyrs, persecution.org for International Christian Concern, and opendoors.org for Open Doors Ministry. Voice of the Martyrs founded by Richard Warren Brown, Open Doors founded by Brother Andrew. All right? So you will help a lot of people. You'll be able to pray. And this is really, it's an important thing for us to do in the body. You know where it says in Scripture, to remember those in prison as if you were in prison. Remember those in chains as if you were in chains. It's not primarily the basis for prison ministry. It is not primarily the basis for going to the prison and ministering to convicts. Should we? Of course. And it's a great harvest place. People are broken. Many people recognize their need. Many people say, look, my sins have caught up with me. This is what I deserve. And they're humble. And there are many genuine conversions in prison. We work with a ministry in Alabama, just Chaplain Walker, doing an amazing job serving for so many years, pouring into inmates. And he took them through discipleship programs. They took my teachings from years ago on cassette tape, and they turned them into full-length Bible studies. And I went and preached to the inmates there, and so many had been carefully following my teaching for years and years. And by the time they got out of prison, they were solid citizens of the kingdom and ready to minister and not on their way back to prison. So amen to doing that. The primary application, however, the primary application of the verse, remember those in prison as though you're in prison, it is referring to fellow believers who are in prison for the faith. That's what it's referring to. It's referring to those who are persecuted for the gospel. So let's be educated, and you can be watching for my article as soon as it comes out tonight on WND.com. We'll post it, America Fiddles While Christians Are Slaughtered. And perhaps this one sentence sums it up. Something is very wrong when we know more about Kim Kardashian's latest fashion statement than about the slaughter or kidnapping of hundreds of Christian children in Nigeria. All right, changing subjects now. Changing subjects and watching with some level of amusement and interest and pain for people and the deceit that they're living in as ongoing bogus reviews are being posted of my brand new book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? Last night I noticed that it had jumped to number one in several categories. It was number one in gay and lesbian nonfiction. Number one under religion and spirituality, gender and sexuality, It was number one in another related category in social issues. So glad to see people are getting it, people are reading it. And of course, it has a good number more of positive reviews, 5-star reviews from people who are actually taking the time to read the book, and then a mocking 5-star review by someone saying, yay, I read your book and became an atheist. But thank God the book is making a difference. Lives are being touched. But I want to share with you from my newest article, 5 Truths About Same-Sex Marriage. But it appears that my mouse has died. So, Matt, I need you to just come in here, because I've got this on my screen, and I can't get to it on my screen. Yes, so I wrote the article. I know what's in the article, but we've got something down here on the floor with a micro USB. This is talking about, you talk about teamwork here. Within a second, Matt is located like 6 miles away in another studio, and he didn't say, how long was that? That was seconds. No, I'm kidding. He's right on the other side of the window pane here. And, we weren't even plugged in. No, that's the wrong one. That's the wrong one. We got another one that should have, it's plugged into to the socket. It's plugged into a socket somewhere, all right? And that's got a really long cord. And there we go. That is the right one. Look at this, man. Talk about a slick radio operation as we speak to people around the world. There we go. Oh, come on. Way to go, Matt. All right. Special gift for your mother on Mother's Day, Sunday. Here we go. 5 truths about same-sex attraction. 5 truths about same-sex attraction. This you're going to find really helpful. And in fact, I'm looking at some of the... God, I'm sorry. Another of the attacks. Some people just wait for these articles and they attack, but the people actually reading them are finding this to be very, very helpful. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you have issues in your own life. Maybe you know someone who is. So here are 5 truths. Are you ready? Write these down and read my whole article by going to AskDrBrown.org and clicking on latest article. Number one, your attractions do not define you. That's number one. Your attractions do not define you. So despite the fact that much is made today of, quote, being gay or having a gay identity, the reality is that your romantic attractions and sexual desires do not define who you are as a person. More importantly, if you have surrendered your life to the Lord and are living in obedience to Him, your primary identity is found in being a son or daughter of God. So many believers struggle when they put gay before Christian in terms of their identity rather than putting Christian or child of God first. Listen, let's come at it from a different angle. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a radio host. I'm an author. I'm a professor. I'm a preacher, teacher, debater, whatever different hats I wear, right? Father and grandfather, add that in. But my primary identity, I'm male, I'm Jewish, I'm American. My primary identity is child of God. And to the extent I understand that my primary identity is not radio host, that my primary identity is not author, that my primary identity is not apologist, that even my primary identity is not husband or father or grandfather or male or American or Jew, my primary identity is a child of God. Everything flows out of that. And if you're born again, if you know the Lord, your primary identity is son or daughter of God. So number one, your attractions do not define you. Number two, it is not a sin to be same-sex attracted. It's not a sin to be same-sex attracted. While it's true that there really are former homosexuals, meaning people who went from homosexual to heterosexual through divine intervention or counseling or discipleship, I hear from them on a regular basis. I know some of them personally. It's also true that there are believers who have renounced homosexual practice but who are still same-sex attracted, and they're living holy, blessed lives. In other words, they say no to it. They renounce it. They say, this is not who I am and how I'm going to act, and they're living holy lives. As a former lesbian once pointed out, God never said, be thou heterosexual because I, the Lord thy God, am heterosexual. He said, be thou holy because I, the Lord thy God, am holy. So in helping those with unwanted same-sex attractions, we need to remind them that holiness, not heterosexuality, is the first and primary goal, encouraging them to renounce sinful practices and relationships and to reject sinful thoughts while recognizing that temptation can still be a real possibility. Have you ever been tempted by something unclean? Have you ever been tempted by something that's like, ugh, where did that come from? Well, fundamentally, if you're following Jesus and seeking to please him, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. You say no to that. You don't cultivate it. Even if that temptation is rooted in your earthly nature, we have died to that and we are now new creations in Jesus. And that is our place of primary identity. Five truths about same-sex attractions. Bonus article coverage on the Line of Fire today. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Just going through some thoughts on same-sex attraction, five thoughts on same-sex attraction. Again, it's my latest article, AskDrBrown.org. I've got a new one coming out tonight, America Fiddles While Christians Are Slaughtered. Once again, to follow these articles, like, wow, you write a lot. How do I stay on top of it? AskDrBrown.org. Just go there to my website and just click on either Facebook or Twitter, the icons there, and connect with us. And when you do, as soon as an article is up, as soon as we see it's posted, either I'll do it or a staff member will do it, we'll post it for you. And you'll know immediately. You'll get tweet, you'll get Facebook notice. And there it is. You can read it, and then you can share it with your friends. If you like it, you can share it with your friends. So maybe this is for you that I'm saying this. Maybe this is for a family member. And my book, Can You Begin Christian, will get into these issues in much greater detail. Number one, your attractions do not define you. Number two, it is not a sin to be same-sex attracted. In other words, if someone says, look, I'm living a holy life. I say no to this. I don't want to be attracted to the same sex, but I notice that if I have a lustful thought, that's the direction it goes, or a romantic feeling, it goes in that direction. I say no to it. I don't cultivate it. I don't give place to it. It's not a sin to have that attraction. We're a fallen human race, and I'll go on with that. Number three, having same-sex attractions does not mean your moral character is bad. Just as it is misguided to define yourself based on your attractions and desires, it is also misguided to define your essential moral character based on your attractions and desires. Put another way, people with same-sex attractions might be some of the kindest, most morally upright people you know. So we're often imprecise in our terminology, saying homosexuality is sinful. The correct statement is homosexual practice is sinful. And because of this, it's easy for us to jump to the wrong conclusion that anyone with same-sex attractions is especially sinful. So the fact is that your moral character is not measured by whether your attractions are same-sex or opposite-sex. Rather, your moral character is measured by how you live your life before God and your fellow human beings, which includes how you deal with your attractions and desires. Do you cultivate and act on things that are wrong in God's sight, like same-sex attractions? Or do you say yes to him and no to those things? Do you genuinely seek to love your neighbor as yourself, produce the fruit of the Spirit, live in purity? That's what measures your morality. Number four, if you're same-sex attracted, you're still created in the image of God. The reality is that every human being is created in the image of God, regardless of who they are, and every human being is fallen and in need of redemption. The whole human race is broken in God's sight. The whole human race is in a state of rebellion against God, outside of his gracious intervention to save us and transform us. And so the whole human race suffers from fatal, damnable flaws. As fallen human beings, we're proud, greedy, lustful, selfish, dishonest, covetous, duplicitous, just to name a few of our carnal characteristics. That's why we need a Savior to forgive us and to transform us. At the same time as God's creation and the expression of his image on the earth, we have many noble qualities, but they are flawed because of the fall. Same-sex attractions, while clearly contrary to God's design for the human race, and while clearly not a gift for him, are just another aspect of our fallen, broken state, one of a thousand different aspects of our weak human condition, putting all of us in the same boat in one way or another. We are all created in his image, We are all fallen and broken in part through our biology and in part through our upbringing choices, which is not to say people are born gay, and we are all loved by him and offered new life in Jesus. Number five, Jesus shed the same blood for every human being with the same sex or opposite sex attracted. There is no discrimination or favoritism at the foot of the cross. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sins if we put our trust in him, regardless of what sins we have committed. In the same way, his call to all of us is the same. If anyone wants to come with me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will save it. Same call to everybody. As I recently told the same sex attracted person, put your entire emphasis on getting into right relationship with the Lord, knowing his love and walking in obedience to him, rather than wondering if you have to be celibate the rest of your life. In other words, that's the wrong question to ask right now. The right question is, what do I need to do to be in right relationship with God today? And today, by his help and grace, cleansed by his blood, you can live for him. Today, you can do the right thing. I don't know if I do this for 20 years. Today, you can live for God, and all you ever have is today. You'll find him to be more than enough and to be there to guide you step by step, one day at a time. Again, you'll get much more in my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? Order it online. You can get it with a special DVD at a discounted price where I debate a gay activist who claims to be born again Christian and model civility and grace in the midst of it. And he is non-hostile in his approach too. So it's really easy to watch, and you get folks on both sides of the issue to watch it. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, to order this together, especially discounted resource package. And if you order online, if you do order from Amazon or you have, please take a minute and read the reviews there. And those reviews that you find helpful, mark them as such. Those reviews that you find unhelpful, mark them as such. And it does help other people. And again, it's not a matter of, I don't want to be maligned. Of course. Look, you're not going to write books like this without getting maligned and lied about and attacked. But, we can help people understand what's truthful, what's helpful, and what is not. So those reviews that are helpful, click yes. Those reviews that are unhelpful, click no. And if you want to sharpen your sword of witness and reaching out and help those that don't know the Lord or that are mockers, that have a different perspective, get involved in the comments section too with my articles and other places. Hey, I'm a voice in terms of being on a public stage and being on the radio and being your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. At the same time, we're a team. We're doing this together. And all of us have our role to play in the home, in the school, in the place of business. So together we're making a difference. And friends, some of you have the ability to really stand with us in a significant way. For some of you, to write a large check is just the same as someone putting aside 50 cents. God's blessed you. Of course, that means you're a good steward or he wouldn't have blessed you like this. But would you pray about standing with us in a substantial way? There's so much we want to do. There's so much vision we have. So many things set before us, but we must wait on the Lord day by day for his funding, for his support. That's why we cut back on so many radio stations so that we could be good stewards, not stretch ourselves beyond our limit, and then, having been pruned, reach out all the more. If you believe in what we're doing, here's an awesome way to support us. It is your gift of any size, but we're encouraging a gift of at least $30, and if you can help with 50 or 100 or 500 or 1,000, every penny of it, once we pay for these resources, goes 100% back into ministry. 6 years of doing special resource offers, not a dime ever goes into my pocket. Get your copy of the Tree of Life version of the Bible, the first ever messianic fresh translation of the entire Bible, written for the whole body by top messianic Jewish and Christian scholars. Call right now, stand with us, and we'll send it out when it arrives in a few weeks. 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, as human beings, we're all in the same boat, created in the image of God, fallen, flawed, in need of a Savior. That's why Jesus shed his blood for every one of us.